If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Utilizing Extreme Events as Dharma Doors for Radical Realization. Utilizing extreme events as Dharma doors for radical realization. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward. Allow the anointing of your holy presence to flow down, integrate, and align with your nervous system, your brain, and every level of your human personality. You, beloved, are the greatest Dharma door, the greatest opening, and to the all that is, that ever was and ever shall be. That absolute divine self of which you are an extension and embodiment of into time, space, and the myriad plays of consciousness that we experience as events. Let's take that on board, if you would. Everything we experience is a play of consciousness. Consciousness being the subtotal of everything that has ever been thought, known, experienced, tapped into, realized. But it's all conditioned. It's all old news. There is nothing new in that field of conditioning except you. You are new every moment. You are radical realization, in many cases unrealized yet, but will be. Beyond the field of consciousness, the plays of a conditioned experience and thoughts and memories and speculations and questing and questioning, there is the supreme awareness that is ever more abundant life itself. And that is what lies beyond. That is what is to be radically realized. And so let's take another deep breath and just sense the living presence of the self. We all identify with that sense of self. That knowing that I am, I exist. And so what are you feeling right now in this moment of existence? Very important. Your feelings are very accurate. And letting you know where you are where you're parked. Your thoughts, not so much so, but your feelings don't lie. Well, they can mislead, of course. But it's a better and, I believe, more accurate assessment to stay present with what you're feeling. We all know the difference between feeling at ease and completely in that state of well-being. And we certainly know that feeling when there's an apprehension, an anxiety, something that isn't quite right. And so the wise one will check and see what it is that's out of alignment with the true state of inner quietude and well-being. Very important to track that sense of inner quietude and well-being where there's no red flags waving in the breeze of your thoughts, perception. So let's chant on IHU 3 times to come into a oneness with all that is, a oneness with each other, a oneness with life, a oneness with that which encompasses everything in life. That is eternal life itself, that we could call God or the divine spirit that lives in us, as us, and expresses through us, however it is we express. So deep breath. Just experience yourself as inextricably woven within the fabric of life itself and all that exists. One life, one love, one way, the way of love. One race, the race of humanity. And we're living on one planet that is our home. So we've been through some intense events. This entire month, there's been one intense climatic event after another. We don't have to go into the details because we're all aware of them. We all are aware of the ravages of these historic Category 5 hurricanes, the flooding, the fires that are just raging in the western coastline and elsewhere, the earthquakes and the volcanic eruptions, the many evacuations. And these are all Dharma doors. The piles of destruction. We can't unsee those things once we've seen them. So, we have to face them. But not as frightened rabbits, but as men and women of clear sight and clear seership. So a Dharma door is whatever offers an opportunity to go beyond. To go beyond where you've been. To go beyond your limited ego-defined self. And truly speaking, when a Dharma door is approached with the intention to go beyond one's former limitations, any situation can serve as a Dharma door. Dharma, you see, is the action of the true self when it's operating, as opposed to the conditioned self that's reacting, which we would call karma. That which acts and reacts. But Dharma is a clear expression, let's say, of our wiser self. So these terrific, catastrophic storms and global earth changes are presenting countless and ongoing Dharma doors for us all. Dharma doors, when entered with right intent, totally shift how you see things. They have the potential of actually enabling you to experience radical realization. They all have that potential. Radical realization can be triggered and must be triggered because everything exists already within us as a latent potential. However, it often takes extreme events to trigger that radical realization. No minor events, you can have, minor understandings, awakening, realizations. I'm talking about something so radical that it transforms forever how you perceive yourself, others, and life. Enlightenment is simply a recognition of what has already and ever been present within you all along. It's not changing yourself. It's not becoming that. It's simply recognizing what you've always been. Bottom line, you've always been indistinguishable from the all that is that we call God. Indistinguishable. Like a ray from the sun. Like a cup of seawater from the ocean. Indistinguishable. Like a handful of sand. Like a shovelful of snow. Indistinguishable from the all the sand that ever was and all the snow that ever was. Like that, your nature is the awakened one, the enlightened one, the pure one, the bodhisattva, the Buddha, the Christ, the Krishna, whatever you want to call it. only you needed a trigger, a catalyst, to cause what was latent to come into your awareness at a conscious level. You simply recognize what has ever been present within you. And you see what a waste of time it can be to try to fix yourself, to try to become more spiritual. I mean, that itself is a radical point of view, isn't it? But can you see now the value of extreme events and what they offer as Dharma doors? So let's assess what we've just collectively gone through and where we are right now and what lies ahead. What happened to you this last, what could we say, month? Could we say months? When did all of these extreme life changing, catastrophic earth changes start? Did they start with 2004? The 9.1 earthquake that leveled Banda Aceh, a huge tsunami that came in? Perhaps. But it seems that these events now are escalating, and it's part of a normal cycle that occurs at the end of every major cycle of time. Let's say every 12,000 years. Every 26,000 years, there's going to be a cleansing and uprooting of that which has been to make way for a new, entirely new wave of consciousness, an entirely new era. So it's not an angry God punishing you. That angry, vengeful, punishing God is something that mankind has made up out of his own punishing, vindictive, vengeful nature projected upon the Creator. That which we call the absolute of itself is beyond every form of good and evil and good and bad. Every polarity, every concept, every imagination that we have attributed to the Supreme Absolute cannot in any way, shape, or form define that in of itself in whom we live and move and have our being. That so many men and women throughout history have realized within their own self, that we would call self-realization or God-realization, where you actually recognize that you are that one. We all come to that. Ultimately, we all recognize, I am that I am. I am that I am. And in that recognition, we discover there's always been only the one. So, we all knew that these times were coming. Every prophet and psychic, every shaman, every native elder has spoken of the time of the great purification, when earth changes will cleanse and renew the whole earth. And obviously we're in those times now. So how did you fare with the events. How did you fare? You'll often hear people refer to getting it back to normal. Wanting to get back to normal. I always wondered what that normal they were referring to meant. Probably familiar habit patterns, wouldn't you say? Some people actually imagine a life that they would call normal, where there's no issues, no problems, or challenges to be dealt with. That would certainly not be on this planet. Certainly not this planet in the third dimension, at least. But notice, when faced with imminent disaster, threat, or even possible death, how intensely present, alert, and aware we become. One is outside, as it were, of one's egoic preoccupation. Even the mind is often transcended in confronting the present isness. At that time, both instinct and intuition come present and seem to operate automatically. How simple at that time to quantum leap out of the ego matrix and awaken beyond one's conditioned patterns. And the more extreme the nightmarish experience, the greater the opportunity, the greater the Dharma door it offers for full awakening. I like that term, Dharma door. It's a Buddhist term. And I think it's very apropos in looking at what we have just and are still going through, addressing the aftermath of Puerto Rico, for example, that was literally reduced to a pile of rubble. One of my in-law relatives just is in flight now, getting ready to come to the United States. And she's 101 years old. She just came through at 101 years of age. This terrific Irma and Maria, these two storms, hurricanes. And so many are sitting amidst a pile of rubble. So many islands in the Caribbean and the Virgin Islands and other territories, other island nations. And the people in Houston are still dealing with standing water, flooded neighborhoods. So many. Florida Keys, just a pile of rubble. So much of Florida, the whole peninsula was affected in some way, and the coast of North Carolina now suffering storm surges and flooding all along the eastern seaboard of the United States. We've all been put through a time of great, great duress. The squeeze has been put on us, and the more the squeeze, the more the nature, the true nature comes out. When the squeeze is put on you, what comes out? What came out of you? So, if we're going to confront extreme challenges, as we all will at some point, we might as well utilize them as opportunities to transcend to a higher level of awareness. I believe this is the very rush of empowered presence that one experiences during extreme sports, skiing and racing down perpendicular mountains, bungee jumping, surfing, those enormous waves, Olympic competitions. I experienced that initially as a teenager, as a circus performer, when I would do what was called a slide for life. I would hang by my teeth and slide down a very high wire that was slanted. And a very, very long slide it was, hanging by my teeth. And I was terrified each time I did it. Each time I would experience that empowered presence that somehow just knew how to do that and did it. Because it was something that I had to learn without having any opportunity to practice. The first time I did it, I passed out cold when I got to the bottom. Thank God I didn't pass out when I was doing it. We wouldn't be having this radio discussion if that had happened. But there's no way you can practice that. There's no safety device. There's just nothing you can do but hang in there, literally. But was it a Dharma door for me? I believe it was, because when you do dangerous work like that, you're facing possible death each time you do it. And, I used to say, you know, you have to be absolutely insane to make your living doing this kind of work. And yet you do it. You find yourself doing it because that's where you are and that's what you do. But I think we're in a new normal now, and it's a time wherein we will see the challenge in observing the collapsing and eclipsing of all of our old ways of doing things and the old paradigm and the society, civilization, and way of living that has been part of that obsolete approach to life. Obsolete because it's been so polarized, and we're entering into a time of the unified field. That polarized positioning simply can't enter. It's got to be reformatted to align with the new energies. And so we're watching the death of an old civilization and the birthing of the new at the same time. At the same time. It's not like everything gets destroyed and then you start from scratch, unless, of course, in some situations you do. But I'm speaking of the whole way we've lived life on planet Earth, the totality, the big picture. And to move into this new era, this new unified field, this new heart-mind coherency, we've got to change the way we have been approaching life, period. Everything is up for review. So radical realization requires a dramatic departure from former habit patterns, from the familiar and predictable. Extreme events lack predictability. This is what's so scary for most people, because most of us want to control and be in charge of what happens in our lives. And with extreme events that come, as these storms have, unpredictable in their path, the meteorologists had a tremendous difficulty trying to predict exactly where the landfall would be, and it kept shifting. And we all were so attentive, watching, where's it going to go now? And then it hit in a place that we didn't expect. So they lack predictability. And it is in facing the unknown that we are able to tap resources that for the first time can come to the fore. We can trigger those deeper resources that up until now haven't had a catalyst to cause them to come forward. Can you recall a radical event that triggered a deeper realization in your life? You know, often it's a loss of some kind that serves as a dharma door for radical realization. During these recent events, many lost everything they had. All their material goods, their homes, their businesses, their source of livelihood, their communities. Puerto Ricans almost lost their entire country in terms of its functionability. Some even lost loved ones during these recent historic events. Historic, off-the-chart hurricanes and rainfall amounts and flooding and fires and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Oh, my gosh. So I know that we all pray that out of this, new lives, better, happier, more awakened lives will emerge. And I personally believe and know in my heart of hearts that that will be true. So these people that got involved in these scenarios were not being punished for being bad. Despite those that preach and infer to the contrary, I do not buy into that point of view at all. As I said before, God is beyond such human concepts as right and wrong, good and evil. God simply is. Beyond all human ideas and definitions. We're going to have to wake up beyond our very childish interpretations of scriptures. We're going to have to awaken to deeper levels. We've only skimmed the surface. We've taken on hearsay the things that people have preached and taught. But very few have had the courage to radically look within. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within, most of us just think that's a nice metaphor, but we haven't a clue what it means. So what's the most radical thing that you've ever done? Something that caused you to tremble with fear, but you did it anyway. Did you have the courage to finally walk out of that abusive relationship? Did you finally have the courage to leave that life-stifling cult? Did you move to a remote area to live off the grid? Or did you give everything away and move to an Indian ashram? Did you volunteer for a foreign mission? Or did you take an insight training? Or other human potential training? I took the insight trainings, and wow, did that trigger radical realization in me. Tremendous. If you haven't taken an insight training, do it. Google it. Do it. Or did you invest your last cent to finance your dream? Or, against all advice to the contrary, did you follow your dream, your heart, your love? What happened? What happened, huh? You know, based on what you chose to do, what happened? I've looked back in my life, and the times I have done all of these things that I've just mentioned, more or less, a few I haven't done, but most of these things I've done, and based on where I am today, and what happened as a result of each of those really scary choices that I made, wow, I wouldn't have undone a second based on who I am and what I am and where I am today, this moment. I can see in retrospect the absolute perfection. of those leaps, those blind, radical, crazy leaps into the unknown. So many Dharma doors present themselves throughout our lifetimes. Can you identify some of yours? Where they led you in your life? This is something you're going to want to journal, because it's important that you validate your own experiences and your own life. If you don't, who is? Somebody else going to do that for you? I don't think so. So gain value out of your precious experiences. Gain value. Gain value. So it's interesting to look at what you actually did, whether you were in the midst of those storms and all of that, or you were watching them on the news. How did you handle it? Did you pray, send light, maintain a special vigil, pray your rosary or japa mala, chant mantras or your initiatory tone? Did you remember to send light as you were watching the news to the different people and situations? Did you remember to do any of these things? If you were caught in the storm, for example, did you remember to call upon the Lord? Did you consider you might drown or not make it through the storm? What went through your mind? How did you feel? How did you respond? If you had loved ones in these various areas, how did you react? How did you respond? What did you do? So many of those storms happened, and the landfalls happened at night. The impacts and the storm surges and the rain-wrapped tornadoes. There were 69 rain-wrapped tornadoes one day in Florida alone. So if you slept or tried to sleep, how did you retire that night if you were in Florida or Puerto Rico or San Croix or one of the other areas that was so impacted, the Dominican Republic, Cuba? Did you surrender your life at all to God? And if not, what? Why? Why not? Were you able to stay centered in higher awareness some of the time, or all of the time? And what do you do to dispel your own fears when they arise? How do you comfort yourself when your lower nature is totally freaked out and wild-eyed, huh? How do you comfort yourself? And were you able to comfort and help others who were freaked out and frantic? If so, how? What did you do? Overall, how well were or are you able to manage your emotions and maintain your cool during times of crises? How do you handle that? So where did you find your consciousness parked most of the time? And where were you the most challenged? Physically, emotionally, mentally, all three? Or were you surprised at how you responded in a good way? For example, did you forget yourself and focus on assisting others? Did your better self emerge? So what did you experience? What did you observe? And moreover, what did you or are you learning? And how did you feel as a result of doing what you could do to help and comfort and rescue others? How do you feel about yourself after having given your all to help out? You know, there is absolutely nothing that will give you access to joy more readily than to forget yourself and be there to help another in a time of duress. If you want to experience joy, just do what you saw thousands of people doing during Harvey. Wading out there in that filthy water up to their waist and sometimes higher, or going about in boats to rescue people, and then going around to rescue the animals, and going to great lengths to rescue various animals that were drowning, putting their own lives at risk to save others, be they human or animal. And the joy, that's when you realize the most important thing in the world is life. Not the color of the skin, not the nationality, not how you worship God, not what you're wearing, none of your labels, and your material things. And the people that were interviewed, yeah, it hurts to lose a whole lifetime of things that you have cherished memories wrapped around. But bottom line, everyone was so grateful to be alive. You didn't hear people complaining. I didn't hear one single person complain or be bitter towards God or the government or anyone. They simply were grateful to be alive. And they were touched by the love and compassion of the people around them. There was a releasing of the soul potency of human beings. And there is, each time there's a disaster, you'll watch that the soul, the real essence of people comes forward. Like after 9/11, New York City, wow, it became a community, a caring community, which incidentally was missed after, you know, after everything was cleaned up and, you know, everybody kind of went back to their lives. For a magical time, everyone was absolutely one. And their only thought was to get through this and to help each other get through this. That's the Dharma door that enters into a form of compassion and caring and joy that nothing else seems to do. Nothing else seems to catalyze that state of consciousness more dramatically, and where you can really see it in evidence, is having some catastrophic event. And with all this silly rhetoric of really sounds like two-year-olds fighting in a sandpile going on between one nation and another, the immature, silly behavior, we actually forgot that for a while. And hopefully we'll keep forgetting about it, because the important thing is that we take care of one another on this planet. Life is precious. The time of threatening to destroy another nation is so stupid. I can't imagine anyone entertaining such a thought, much less implementing it. That is such an obsolete albatross approach. And I do believe that our emissaries that were sent to talk to the various ones actually succeeded, at least in the case of our North Korean brother. There has been a change in the last day or two. And it's a good change. It's a humble change. It's a opening change. And hopefully that will continue. As I told you in a recent seminar, the Ashtar Command always sends, or one of the galactic command representatives, whether they're Earthborn or they walk into the dimension or they are here on Earth or directly from the fleets, they always contact the global leaders when there is a buildup of tension that could lead to war, and now the stakes are too high. Just simply is not going to be allowed. I thought it was interesting the other day on cable television. They had a re-airing of a program where on March 16th, 1967, there was something that happened, I think it was during the Cold War, where it looked like we were going to fire on Russia. And there was a UFO that came over the missile silos and shut them all down. And I also thought it was interesting because on that same date, 10 years earlier, Commander Valiant Thor had landed in his spacecraft in Alexandria, Virginia, and that was the first entrance of him as an envoy from Venus to present a petition for peace, how to establish peace throughout the planet. And it required, of course, the complete ending of every form of nuclear use on the planet by all nations. And, of course, you know, that didn't happen. But I thought it was interesting that that was the same date that Valiant Thor had landed. And 10 years later, here's the shutting down of the atomic silos here in the United States. How interesting. There's got to be a tie-in there, a synchronicity that's very important. So we were given the opportunity of not being in the situation we're in today on the planet by Commander Valiant Thor and various delegations, I know, from the Ashtar Command as well that met with the presidents at the time, sitting presidents. So it's not that we haven't tried. But we are at a time now when the Earth itself has simply come to the point that, ready or not, she is moving into the next spiral of her own consciousness evolution, and we're going to come along with her. There is a spiraling, as it were, in frequency up to a new level that simply will not admit the old programs, the old ego-centric greed and commerce mentalities will not enter into this new state. So we had an opportunity to really observe ourselves this last bit of time, how we are reacting to the news. So many people want to blame. That's, again, a very immature approach. Eventually, we all come to the place where we are entirely responsible for our own life, our own perceptions, our own experiences. We realize that we have allowed, created, promoted, requested, or volunteered to undergo everything that happens in our lives, that there are no victims. We are not a victim, not a victim of the world we see. We have invented the world we see. We have interpreted things, out of our own state of consciousness, whatever it would be. But there's no one to blame. We are all absolutely students of life. We are all incarnations of God, awakening from a projection into a limited personal self that we call a human being. It's an interesting field trip. We signed on for it. We wanted to extend awareness. And we wanted to experience being individual and separate from one another. And so we did that. And we're experiencing that. And now it's simply the time to go into another class to graduate, move beyond that, and come into a unified field that cooperates and works together, that shares planetary resources, that no longer needs to buy and sell, but create and share. The new paradigm is to create and share equally, like we do on the other more advanced planets, like Venus, for example. We create the things that we love because we love to create, and then we share them. Nobody buys and sells anything. We share. And we delight in our creations. And when you create something, say, for example, a table, it has to always be a table, once created as a table, but you can modify the design infinitely. Infinitely. You can morph it into anything you want because you're working with the energy of thought and the manifestation through thought, because everything in the higher dimensional planetary worlds is created out of thought. Everything. You yourself have created your body out of thought. You just don't think of it that way. When you look around your environment, whatever your eyes fall upon, that's a manifestation, a densification of your own thoughts. These are your thoughts. These are the things that you have grouped around you because they represent ideals that you want to have in your presence, and so you externalize them as the objects that you interact with. But if you raise the vibration of all these objects, they disappear into pure light, because it's just light that has densified into visible form that you call your body or you call your objects in your house, whatever. And we do this because it's interesting, because it's our divine nature to create. And so we're learning how to create more perfectly in alignment with our God self. We're all in training to be creator gods. That's the gig. And so we learn to notice everything. We really notice what we notice. We notice what we are attached to, what we accord value to, what we have idealized, what we have wound up in an ideology of our own or the making of someone else. We just become aware of all of those things. And when you get to the point that you can utterly transcend the belief that you are a physical body in a physical world that's separate from you, all your problems end. Finished. No more problems. Because all your problems come with identifying with being an individual person locked in a world over which you have no control, in a body that seems to be dying and aging every moment, because that's the nature of every form. Why do forms die? Because they're not eternal truth. Form is an appearance. It's not an eternal verity. An eternal verity is the love and light and sound of divine spirit. Those are eternal things. But not the physical forms. They're all going to go the way of all forms. They're going to go back into the elements which from which they were made. Earth goes back to earth. Fire goes back to fire. Water goes back to water. Air goes back to air. Ether goes back to ether. But you have never left the heart of God. And so you simply awaken beyond the form in the heart of the all that is, as the all that is that you've always been. That's a big realization. That's the ultimate realization. That you've never left home. You've never left God. You remain as God created you. And this has all been a play of consciousness, a projection, like a movie screen, like a movie reel that's projected these scenarios. And you think, oh, wow, I feel, therefore I'm here. No, no, you don't have to feel in a way that locks you into the lower senses, because the senses themselves are tied in with identifying with a physical body. But ultimately, the highest sense is when you move into the bliss body consciously and you simply are the bliss of God, the Satchitananda of God. That's the ultimate realization. But there's more. There's always more. There's always more. There's a divine plan to everything, and it's to expand the omniscience of the all that is with ever new delight, ever new beautiful creations. We can't even put words to. But they're created not out of the mind, but out of the bliss. You create out of the bliss of eternal manifestation of self, with a capital S, eternal being, Whenever you feel yourself tunnel vision down into what's happening with your body and your small story life, expand. Get beyond. Soul travel. Soul expand. Broaden the consciousness. Take a new approach. Look from a new perspective. Or take a radical leap into an unknown world or realm that you've never been in before. Oh, gosh, it becomes fun when you're not attached. You can enjoy every second like you would a wonderful movie. You know, there could be an enlightened person sitting in the middle of that storm and experiencing complete oneness and bliss with God. And they would have no awareness of the storm because they would not be identified with a form, with a physical body, in a particular place in time-space. And they would be living out of a totally different level of reality. That's when that radical shift really radically shifts. And it doesn't revert back. When you move into the highest sense of self-realization, it stays permanently and you don't revert back. You expand beyond because there's always more. But what I'm saying is you don't fall back. So when you have a temporary peak experience, that's like being given a gift of vision. But when you revert back, you realize it hasn't been stabilized yet. But when it's stabilized, you stay there. You don't divert back. You don't lose that state, so to speak. So let's use all of our experiences as Dharma doors, should we? Shall we? Let's use every experience that we possibly can to trigger a deeper realization, to out those untapped potentials that require some sort of a catalytic triggering to get them to emerge. We need to experience different things, not get stuck in ruts, habitual familiar patterns. And transcend. Transcend. Wherever you are, there's a level higher. Go there. Raise your vibrations. How? Through gratitude. It's the quickest way. Look around your environment right now and notice the beauty. Whatever you can find in your environment that is beautiful and praiseworthy, that you can be grateful for and express your gratitude. You know, ego and gratitude are totally cancel each other out. When you're in the ego state, you can't feel grateful for anything. You're just complaining. So pay attention and shift to gratitude. Simple, simple, simple. The Master Moria said we need to learn to be grateful even for a cup of gruel. And the Bible says in all things we need to give praise and gratitude to God. Same message. So raise your vibration beyond the doldrums and the complaints and the projections of blame and all of that. And just be grateful that we are present and alive tonight. We're sharing this moment together. And we're sharing this beautiful planet and this transformative era together. And together we will awaken the golden age, which is dawning even as we speak. And we shall dance hand in hand, together, laughing throughout the cosmos as we transcend the nightmare that we've ever been separated from each other or from God. So let's raise our hands and bless the planet. May all the beings of this planet and all the worlds be happy. May all be well with them. May all have peaceful minds. May all manner of goodness bless them. May they be wrapped in the love and grace of God. And most of all, may they have a radical realization that in highest truth they are one with God and have never left the presence of God. And let's go out chanting three beautiful long hues. Deep breath. And to everyone everywhere, we say, God bless you. We love you. Peace. Be still. Namaste.